wanted to maybe mention to begin with that we are planning to have the Monday night for the Master tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And I was told to mention that you bring something with you, kind of like a potluck thing for that, okay? Otherwise, we'll be some slim pickings over there. But we're not really there to eat anyway, but bring something with you. We'll be doing some visitation and also some card writing. If you haven't, let me know whether or not you're coming. I mean, if you're planning to come and you didn't sign your card, let me know. Just say something to me after services, and we'll plan on that. I was thinking that communication is one of the most important things in this life. To be able to communicate and to be able to understand what other people are saying to us in an effective way, this is what the Bible is all about. God is always asking his people, do you hear me? Are you listening? And we are responsible to listen to him and follow his instructions. I've been reading somewhat in the Old Testament lately, and as you read through there, you're impressed on the intricate detail in God's instructions. Things about the Old Testament that are amazingly specific. You know, when you read about the sacrifices that are being offered and when they are to be offered, it's very, very specific about it. When you find information about any aspect of their worship. And then you go to the New Testament, and there's also great detail as well. It's not as though we can say that, well, we're not under the Old Testament, so we don't have to listen anymore. Actually, the Bible says just the opposite. You need to listen even more closely than before. I remember when the boys, our sons, were very small, and we got them walkie-talkies. That was before the days of cell phones and all the other communication gadgets that we have, how these little toy walkie-talkies with their batteries had a range of about 50 feet or so. They couldn't hardly get across the house. The boys were just enjoying them so much. They'd be, you just hear them walking through the house. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You know, they'd be in the same room. Can you hear me? You know, they could hear each other without the walkie-talkie, but they're still using the walkie-talkie. Well, sometimes God wants to know if we can hear him. One of the signs of faith on our part is our willingness to listen to what God has to say and do it in the way in which he has told us to do it. We're always tempted to follow our own wisdom, but it's not within man who walks to direct his own steps. God is the one in charge, and we need to listen to him. I was thinking of the statement in the book of Jeremiah, a little story there. Jeremiah is filled with great illustrations, very graphic illustrations, in fact. The prophets were given commandments, and they were told to do things, which on the surface seemed kind of, well, a little strange. I mean, God told Jeremiah in chapter 13, I believe it was, to go and buy himself a linen waistband. Something, you know, made of cloth that you could put around your waist, I guess. Something you might use to hold your pants up with, kind of a belt, you might say. And he said, was told to go buy that. He was supposed to buy it. He wasn't supposed to do anything about washing it or anything, just to buy it and put it on, and he did. And it wasn't, I guess, I don't know how long it was before God told him to take that linen waistband that he had bought and go to the Euphrates River. I don't know how far that journey was, but it didn't seem like it was around the block at all. And to go to the Euphrates River and dig a hole and bury it, cover it up, and then come back. And he did. And after many days had passed, and I don't know how long it was, a considerable amount of time, and finally God said, Jeremiah, go and dig up that waistband. Well, I don't know if any of you are in the habit of burying your clothes and then digging them up and wearing them again. I guess if you got sprayed by a skunk, that might be something you could do. I don't know if I'd want to dig it up. But, you know, he went and he dug it up just like God told him to do. And when he dug it up, it was ruined. It was like clothes do when you bury them in the ground. They just rotted. And so the waistband was no longer any good. And God said to him, now this is an illustration for you. In Jeremiah, I was thinking, why couldn't you think of a different way of saying it? But just as that waistband clings to your waist, so Israel was made to cling to God. And he says, and because Israel's not willing to listen to God, they will be like that linen waistband, useless, worthless. If we don't listen to God, we're not worth anything. Now, we all struggle with that. I think sometimes we think that we listen to God and fool ourselves into thinking that we listen to God. But there are some tests that we can take to indicate whether or not we're actually listening. One of them is, do we do what he says? Do we stay away from the things he prohibits? And do we do the things that he tells us to do? Because ultimately, listening is not just saying, I heard what he said. I know what he said. I can quote the verse. It's actually about doing what he says to do. So what we want to deal with here is tonight is just looking at some verses that have to do with the importance of listening to God. It is the most important thing that you can do. Now, you say, well, there's a lot of other things you can talk about here, but none of them are really of any effect until we first listen to the Lord, until we listen to him in the right way. And so I want to talk about a few passages that deal with, first of all, what to listen to, and then secondly, how to listen to it. Very simply put, but both of those statements are found in the Gospels and are found in the words of Jesus himself. So the first one in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, take care what you listen to. What is it that we're supposed to listen to? Well, let's start off by saying we must listen to Jesus. He's the one that we need to listen to. Why? Well, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that God, in the long ago, after he had spoken to people in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in or by his Son. So we're to listen to Jesus. Now that's important because in the Old Testament, you know, Jesus was still the second person of the Godhead. He was alive. He was with the Father from the beginning. But he was not known until he was born, when he was called Emmanuel, God with us, and his name would be called Jesus. So they were listening to God in the Old Testament. They were following the law if they were Israelites. And so today, he says, today in this last dispensation of time, Jesus is the one through whom God speaks. Now that's a very important principle. In Matthew chapter 17, you remember that you had Jesus there and his Peter, James, and John as well. And he was transfigured on this mountain. And also with him there was Elijah and Moses. And they were transfigured before the apostles and they could see them. And the sense I get is that they were glowing with the radiance of God's presence. And it says that their garments were so white that whiter than any launderer on earth could have made them, and then they're discussing things there, and of course Peter, James, and John, they can't handle it, and they're immediately on their face to the ground. It's so impressive, but when they do finally look up, they see no one but Jesus alone, and Peter has that remarkable suggestion: "Hey, let's build three tabernacles: one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus." You know. And God overshadows them, and I think there's a bit of fright there in the mind of Peter. Uh-oh, what did I do now? And this cloud overshadows them. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We listen to Jesus, and he is the one with all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 20. Also, and another reason for listening to Jesus is because we will not be judged by any words other than the words that Jesus has spoken. That passage in John 12 is so important. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep him, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word that I spoke will judge him on the last day. So when we think, well, what are the words of Jesus? Where can I find the words of Jesus? Where are they written and where are they recorded? Well, if you look at your Bible, turn to the first page, the cover page, the New Testament, we might say the New Covenant of Jesus Christ. These are the words of Jesus. And just because you have a red letter edition doesn't mean the whole thing is not the words of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul told the brethren at Corinth, let him who is a prophet or spiritual recognize that the things that I am writing to you are the Lord's commandments. The New Testament of Christ. This is what we read. This is what we study. And this will judge us on the last day. So we've got to listen to Jesus, okay? And in a second way of looking at it, not only must we listen to Jesus, more specifically, as we just said, we must listen to his word. To his word. And we're talking about that. Sometimes people say, well, and the reason I put this down here likely is because some people say, well, I was going through life and Jesus just kind of talks to me while I'm eating my cereal at the breakfast table. Or I'm sleeping at night and I have this little dream or something. I wake up and I decide that's how Jesus is talking to me. Well, God spoke to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways. Sometimes in the Old Testament, he did speak through dreams. Sometimes he did talk to people directly. But today, he speaks through Jesus Christ, and more particularly, through his word. And so there's a couple of passages we might want to look at. Isaiah mentions this to some extent. He says, to the law and to the testimony. And if they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn. There's no hope. There's no vision in their life unless they go to the word, to the testimony of God. More specific in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1 and 2, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. What is it that we need to listen to? Do we need to, spiritually speaking, do we need to open up the newspaper and find out what the editor has to say? Do we need to turn on our favorite news broadcast and hear what it is that we need to listen to and understand? And there's different stations with a lot of different opinions. How do we know what to listen to? Do we talk to our friends, our neighbors? Do we take an opinion poll and figure it out? No, he says here we need to preach the word. This is what we need to hold to and to cling to in our lives and listen to. It doesn't really matter what I say or what you say. It's what God says in his word. And that's what we must listen to in this life. One reason for that is Romans 10 says, that's how we get faith. And we're talking this year about having a better vision of God and in this first quarter about walking by faith, not by sight. Well, to walk by faith is not just kind of like a blind leap in the dark, stepping off the end of the tree branch and just falling down to the ground. It's not like that. It's not that sort of thing. Faith here is evidenced, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It's the thing that stands under, the substance of things hoped for, stands under our hope. It's a conviction or evidence of things we cannot see. So faith is built by our understanding and listening to what God has to say in his word. And so maybe that's why Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 16 says, pay close attention to yourself. This because it says persevere in these things, for as you do this you ensure salvation both to yourself who hear you. So anyway, what we have here then is the reason we need to listen to his words. A third point about this is there are some things we must not listen to. Okay, we might have our children growing up and we may say, not going to listen to that kind of music. And I wish more parents would do that. Listen to the music and hear what it's talking about. Or you're not going to watch that kind of a television program. Or you're not going to put that kind of stuff into your mind. Why? Because you know that what you put in your mind comes out in your life. It affects you. And so there are things we must not listen to. One I put down is sensual preaching. And this would be found in Ezekiel chapter number 33, beginning in verse 30. And try to picture yourself back then, and God's talking to Ezekiel the prophet. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. Now, it sounds pretty good up to there, doesn't it? Hey, let's all go down and hear what the prophet has to say. Now, you've got to remember then, they didn't have movie theaters, and they didn't have television, and they didn't have other types of entertainment. What do we want to do today? Well, let's go hear what that old prophet has to say down there. Let's go hear the message of the Lord. But that's not exactly, they didn't come exactly with the right attitude. It says, God says, they come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, and they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on the instrument. He's just like a rock star. I mean, he's like a country music singer or something. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Okay, they wanted to go and hear the prophet. That's good. Step one. But they came with the attitude, no, we're not going to listen to really what he has to say. We're going to do what we want to do anyway. Have you ever known anybody to do that? I want to study the Bible. Yeah, I'll study the Bible with you, and we'll study the scriptures together. But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do anyway. That's not exactly the attitude God wants us to have when we come and listen to a sermon or go to a Bible class or open your scriptures at home or whatever. It's sort of, in this case, an entertainment of sorts. It's not the kind of listening God wants. And I would say there was nothing wrong with Ezekiel's preaching. He was not doing it to be noticed of them and to be thought of in this way. They were bringing that attitude to him. They were not coming with an open mind and an open life. It became to them entertainment, and they had no idea of obeying it. Well, how do we approach God's word? If we're going to listen to what God has to say, and we're going to come and hear his word being preached, are we going to come with a preconceived idea about what we want the preaching to be? I want the preacher to preach on, and we'll give him 6 or 7 different topics that we like to hear about. It could be things that just kind of comfort us, that are not too challenging to our lives, things that may be of a curiosity nature, but not anything that really causes us to feel uncomfortable or sense that we might need to change or repent or do something different. And so, we come with those sort of attitudes. I like preaching that is really hard on people out there in the religious denominations. Well, that may be the kind of preaching you want, and sometimes that's the preaching that might be needed. Someone else says, I don't think we should ever say anything that might offend anyone, because that just closes the door. Well, that may be their opinion. It certainly goes against maybe what other people think. Some would say, well, I want preaching to be just right out of the headlines of the newspaper. You know, just be topical and right out of the newspaper. Just tell us about this or that. And there's some value to that. Of course there is. Others will say, I just want preaching that is expository and just from the scripture itself. And everybody has a different idea on what they want about preaching. And there are many different kinds of preaching, styles of preaching, occasions for preaching, all of that. But that's not so important as, are we coming to hear what God has to say to us in His Word? And we need to go, come with that attitude and leave with something in our hearts that we need to change, that we need to do better at, that we need to be encouraged about. So that may be what we classify as preaching that appeals to the senses. And then there's smooth preaching. This is found in Isaiah 30, verse 10, where God says, "Woe to the seers, you must not see visions. To the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions." These are the people that were wicked, falling away from God, not listening to His will, later would be taken into captivity. Judgment was coming. But they wanted the prophets just prophesy illusions. Just tell us what we want to hear. Don't rock the boat. Don't stir the waters. Just kind of let us alone and let us continue on with our life. What do you think about that as it applies to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. Paul is nearing the end of his life. You know, he's trying to give Timothy, the young evangelist, a heads up on what he needed to do. There in Ephesus, there were people there that were espousing false doctrine. He had some challenges ahead of him. Now, Timothy, what do you want to do? Well, Paul told him to preach the word. And then he warns him and says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and turn away from turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." This is the nature of man. This is how we are as people. We want to hear what we want to hear. I'm just as guilty of that as probably anybody. We like to hear what we want to hear. And sometimes we need to hear what we don't want to hear. And it may change our lives if we do, if we're willing to listen to what God has to say. So he says, don't listen to that smooth teaching. There's an example in 1 Kings 22. You read the whole chapter, it'll do you good. You think about 1 Kings 22 when the king of Israel was Ahab, and the king of Judah, this is after the division of the kingdom of Judah, the king of Judah, rather, Jehoshaphat, were making an alliance together to go fight against the king of Syria, or Aram, depending on your version in the Bible. And Jehoshaphat came up there. I think he was the more righteous of the two, which isn't saying much when you compare him to Ahab. But you look at those two kings and you say, now Jehoshaphat said, "Have you inquired of the Lord about this?" He was at least righteous enough to want to hear what God had to say. Well, Ahab wasn't listening to God, hadn't been for a long time. He had the 400 prophets of Baal that he listened to at the strong suggestion of his wife Jezebel, I'm sure. But they had these false prophets. And so when Jehoshaphat asked that, he said, "Well, we have one prophet of the Lord, but he doesn't speak well of me." You know, in other words, I don't really listen to him because he gives me a bad time, a hard time of it. And so Jehoshaphat, don't say that. Let's hear what he has to say. And they went to fetch him. And as they went to fetch him, the prophets who fetched him said, "Now, we've all been saying this. You know, we've been all staying to the party line, you say. You go to battle, you're going to destroy him. You're going to win this battle." And Micaiah said, "No, I'm going to tell him what the Lord said." And sure enough, when he got here, the message was, "This isn't going to go well for you if you go to fight him. This isn't going to happen so good." And so he gives a message, and Ahab goes, "See, I told you, he doesn't ever speak good of me." And so they went into the battle, and sure enough, whatever he said would happen did in fact happen. And that again goes to the idea of, you don't want to listen to preaching that is designed to do little more than comfort and make you feel good without dealing with the heart of the issue, the problem of sin, the problem that relates to repentance. And there's preachers in the denominational world, some on television, that you hardly ever hear them condemn anything. They're skirting all around it. Everybody's good. Everybody's fine. Let's don't get specific enough to make people feel like change. Well, be careful. Don't listen to that kind of preaching. And then another kind of preaching we might mention is this. There's that kind of preaching that's always searching for something new to say. In Acts chapter number 17, in the city of Athens, apparently there were those who were always wanting to hear something new. Some of them were from that city. Some were strangers that came in for the purpose of hearing, hey, what's new? Remember, again, you know, they didn't have television and radio. They didn't have their computer internets and their Google and all of that. What's new in this world? I mean, it took time for something that was new to get around, to circulate, as it were. Now it just happens instantly. You can open it up and, what's new today? Here it is. But for them, they were searching for it. They had to ask questions about it. And what was new to them was Paul's preaching about the one God who made the heavens and the earth. That was something new. But these people had that disposition of mind and heart, always looking for, searching for something new. If a preacher is always trying to preach something that nobody else has ever preached, then it kind of makes you wonder, because in Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, if anyone brings you another gospel other than that which you've already received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. So in many ways, what we preach will be consistent. We may get into an area that we hadn't discussed before. We may explore something in a deeper extent, but it's the same old gospel story, the message of the truth, God's word. It needs to be substantiated with his word and not just with the opinions of man. So Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun. And I think that's probably true. We may think, you know, maybe you're kind of like that guy who said, I thought I had something new to say. And then after he says it, then he finds it's been said many times before by other people. You know, that's kind of the way it usually works anyway. Okay, so Jesus said, be careful or take care of what you listen to. But the second thing he said is take care how you listen. How do you listen? One thing we want to mention about that is, according to Hebrews 4, is that we need to listen in a way that unites God's word with our faith. What we hear needs to be united by faith. And this in the context of the children of Israel wanting to go into the land of Canaan. The promise was given to them, the command was issued forth, but they didn't have enough faith to do what God said, and so they stood on the outside shaking in their boots saying, we can't do it. And because of their faith, they ended up wandering 40 years in the wilderness. Now, we need to be careful how we listen to what God has to say. The Bible gives us some explicit instructions. We need to listen attentively. Listen with our full attention. If you were listening to, let's say, your favorite sports celebrity star, and you had an opportunity to go to a banquet where he was speaking, I guarantee you that you'd be listening to what he had to say. You wouldn't be sitting there on your cell phone with your thumb, exercising your thumbs and that kind of thing, going through there. You'd be listening to what he had to say. Why? Because his person is important to you. When we're wanting to listen to God, we need to tune in our attention to him. And that means to focus on what he says. The scripture says this. I think it's, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. He's comparing Christ with the old law and the superiority of what we have in Jesus to what they had under Moses. And he says in verse 1, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so we do not drift away from it. There's that paying attention to it. That is, focusing on it very clearly. Another passage is found in 1 Timothy 4:16. We already referred. Pay close attention to yourself, that is your manner of life, and to your teaching. This is how you ensure salvation to yourself and to those who hear you. Another passage we read is from the book of James. James had a lot to say about it in James 1, beginning in verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what kind of person he was. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man is blessed in what he does. And so he's saying we need to be paying attention, and we look in the mirror, and you notice that you have a big black smudge on the tip of your nose. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're working on the car and rubbed your nose or something with your hand. And it's sitting right there, you know. It's obvious, plain as the nose on your face, practically. And so you see it and you say, well, you know, I really ought to wipe that off. It looks kind of funny. But then you leave the bathroom and you go about your business and go through the whole day with a big black smudge on your nose. You can't see it because you're not looking in the mirror, but it's still there. You should know it. And if you'd have paid attention, you would. And that's the way it is with God's Word. You look at God's Word, and all of us do this. If we're not careful, we'll listen to a sermon, or we'll hear a passage read on a CD or a tape, or we'll listen to a sermon, or we'll go to Bible class or whatever. And there'll be something that we know in our life we need to change. We need to do differently, or we need to add to our regimen of Christian living principles. And then we go away and we just kind of forget about it. I know that you're not the only one. I do this too. Sometimes, come about Tuesday or Wednesday, I've already forgotten what I preached last Sunday. I mean, sometimes, you know, I leave the room and I forgot what I told my wife, you know. And she'll remind me of those things. But you know, sometimes we need to be focusing enough to pay attention and to begin taking steps to change it. So pay close attention. And then the next thing about our listening, we need to listen obediently. We already said this, but let's say it again. James 1:22, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Oh, this is so practical. And James is very practical. The idea of coming to worship and getting that feeling that we do about being with God's people, singing songs of praise to the Lord, hearing his word preached or taught, partaking of the Lord's Supper, all of those things that engage us in worship to the Father. We're not the spectators, we're the participants of that. And then we get involved in all of this, and then we leave and feel good about it, but immediately forget what we need to change. Be not just hearers, but also doers. And that verse right there, if I were to say, how do you grow as a Christian? This is it. The Bible's not hard. Christian living is not difficult to understand. You listen and you do. And as you do what you hear Jesus say, your life is changed forever. You grow into likeness of Jesus. That's how it is. And if you do something once, that's great. If you do it twice, that's even better. If you do it 21 days in a row, psychologists tell us that it becomes a habit. If you keep on doing it after that, pretty soon it becomes part of your character and your nature. You become a different sort of person. Yes, old dogs can learn new tricks. We can change if we just hear and do. So listen with a view toward obedience. This is what Paul said in Romans 2. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. The writer of Revelation says it, where the scripture says there, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near. Jesus himself, in the great story about the wise man and the foolish man. Who is the wise man? Jesus illustrates that by saying the wise man is the one who hears the words of mine and acts upon them. we sing about that song, and our children learn that song, and yet as adults sometimes we forget the main point of that song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Great, great. Built on the rock. Yeah, I understand that. What does that mean? What it means is you hear and you act upon it. You don't hear and then forget about it. The foolish man is the one who hears and doesn't do anything. So we want to be the wise. The next place, when it comes to how to listen, listen receptively. This may sound a little redundant, but it has a little different slant to it. James said it this way in James 1. He said, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. What he's saying here is, if there's anything in your way, get it out of the way so you can be humble and receive God's word. Be receptive to God's word. Now that word, that expression, filthiness, putting aside all filthiness and what remains of wickedness, this is a medical term that means to get the wax out of your ears. That's kind of graphic, but that's, spiritually speaking, the sin and the habits of life and the things that are contrary to God make it difficult for us to hear the word of God. We are all, in some ways, subjective in the sense that we bring a certain set of values and a certain lifestyle and a certain thing to the word of God. So we want to be as objective as we possibly can be, lay aside those things, and really listen to what God is saying in his word. Don't worry about if it's something that I'm guilty of or not guilty of. Don't worry about anything like that. Just come with a "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening" attitude, and then intend to change your life as a result. Be receptive. The next verse I have here is Matthew 13, of course, the parable of the soils. We want to be like the good soil. We don't want to be like the hard soil or the thorny soil or the other kinds of soil. We want to be the good soil that produces fruit. And for that to be happening, we need to cultivate a good attitude, a heart that is receptive, so when the seed of God's word is planted in it, it has opportunity to grow. Because if we don't have that good heart, listening to God's word isn't going to do us any good. It's just going to sit there on top. And the writers of the New Testament often rebuke their listeners in Hebrews and other places because they would become dull of hearing. They needed to have some cultivation go on. Now, sometimes it may take some dynamite to blow up the hard soil to get it worked up a little bit so you can till it and get it ready to receive the word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. Concerning, he's talking about Melchizedek. We have a lot to say, but he says in that passage, it's hard to explain since you have already become dull of hearing. Have you ever talked to somebody, and not necessarily about spiritual things, but in general, maybe it's an opinion about some subject or topic or whatever, and as you're talking to them, you realize they're really not listening. And no matter what you say right now, you're going down the wrong track because they're not going to be accepting this. And maybe it might be a good time for you to back up and try again from another angle or something. But anyway, that's what he's saying about this. We have more to say, but you're not willing to listen. You're hard of hearing in this case. In our society, one of the characteristics that marks us is that we've become poor listeners, conversationally and other ways, but particularly when it comes to God's word. Because in society, we're inundated with these philosophies and these doctrines and dogmas that try to push us in a direction that the world wants us to go. Paul says in Romans 12, it's don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world pour you into its mold, but instead be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That is, having your mind renewed, and that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So Let God's word renew your mind, and let your mind be poured into the mold of God and his word, the pattern of sound doctrine we read about in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. And finally, we must listen urgently. Urgently. James said, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone should be quick to speak," or quick to hear, rather, right? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. I almost got by with that. Be quick to hear. I think he's talking about, in the context, the word of God. Be quick to hear God's word. Be slow to speak out against it. Be slow to become angry at it. And while this applies in other areas of life, he's talking specifically about God's word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, the Hebrew writer talks about, "Today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, but instead obey his teachings." So we need to be quick to hear. Hebrews 9:27, there's judgment coming. It's appointed a man once to die, after that comes judgment. So being quick to hear God's word, why? Think about it for a moment. Why should we be quick to hear? And quick hear is not just listening on the surface, but listening deeply, but right now. Why do we need to be quick? Well, first of all, the hardening process may have already begun. And every time we listen to God's message, and there is something we need to change, but we don't change it, it makes it a little more difficult the next time to make that change. Hardening already takes place. So be quick to hear. And then he says, be quick to hear, because the time is coming when this life will be over and we'll stand before God in judgment. It will be here before you know it. And thirdly, we need to be quick to hear because the trumpet of God is going to sound one of these days, and the Lord's going to return with his mighty angels in flaming fire. So the question then, are you listening? We're easily sidetracked, but we need to be listening to him, listening with a view toward obedience. It may be this evening that you're ready to change your life. You're ready to accept the gospel. We're here to help you. If you'll come while we stand and while we sing together.